Here we are.
Where the fuck are we?
I'm actually not 100% sure. Somewhere on the road in Kentucky.
Are we in Kentucky? We've crossed from Ohio to Kentucky.
We were doing a signing in Arnold. Anyways, welcome to Talkin' Shop.
In the car, on the road, with the boys. We're actually together. We're driving to a town. We still do everything together, but this scenario is very rare. We don't drive to towns together anymore very often because we get flown places, we do our shit, and we leave. But we signed at the Arnold Classic until 2 p.m. And now we're driving to Louisville for Impact Sacrifice tonight. We got to wrestle. And fuck.
We have a weekend here where we flew into Columbus. We signed at the Arnold Classic all day last night. We got to meet Corey Gregory
in person for the first time. Our business partner, our friend.
Yeah, great brother. Not sure he likes us anymore. He didn't write back today.
Well, you can't win them all.
You can't win them all. And I think there's a good way to look at this. With the good brothers, when you meet us, you either go, man, we love those fucking guys. Or you go, those guys are too fucking much.
These guys are too much. We're too much for some people. We know that. That's okay. We're a niche audience. You love us or you hate us. There's not a lot of tweeters with
That's
us.
True. That's like what Rocky says. The good brothers are like Las Vegas. You only hang out with us for a couple days. But when you're in Las Vegas with the good brothers, you only got about 6-7 hours.
Yeah, you got a small window. But I mean, it's weird because we don't get sick of each other. Maybe we're both just that fucking weird.
You know, when we were in the WWE usually, or let's go back to New Japan. With New Japan, we'd be on 8-hour bus rides and we'd be all together laughing and talking and farting and doing all of our shit anyway.
Lots of farting.
And then WWE, you land in a city, you pick up your rental car and then you go wrestle. Then you drive hours and hours. And for 4 years, we did that. Or we're just on the road. So it doesn't feel, this feels like old times again.
It feels like old times again. We were earlier thrown off. Like, fuck, we had to sign in the morning and wrestle at night. Because usually now when we sign.
Bitching, of course. We're bitching about the 3-hour drive.
That's it. But we were both thinking fuck, wish we would have wrestled Friday. Signed all day Saturday and then just had fun. But unfortunately, when you're a worldwide professional wrestler, you can't just make your own schedule like that. They need you to do certain shit.
Well,
and the Arnold was fun. It was cool to see that. We're driving now. We're going to get through it.
The Arnold was fun. We might have lost a friend, but we still are.
We might have lost a friend.
We're still business partners.
We still have a business partner, so it's fine. Hey, you know, there's a lot of business people out there who aren't really good friends, and that's just the way that it is. I still feel like.
Although I still love Corey.
I do, too. I just don't think the love is reciprocal.
Sometimes love isn't reciprocal.
Sometimes love is a one-way street, you know? When I was a kid, I loved Pam Anderson. I know she didn't love me back.
Also, I still tell you guys to go to maxeffortmuscle.com, which Talkin' Shop is always presented by maxeffortmuscle.com. Go get yourself an XL stack. You get protein. Pick out 5 things. You pick out protein, some greens, some sleep stuff, test booster. I mean, some of the best taste of protein I've ever had. Also, some of the best pre-workout I've ever had. And I'm not a huge pre-workout guy, but I do like Max Effort Muscles pre-workout. It just gives you a nice little fire. We got a 3-hour drive from Columbus. Like I said, we went through Cincinnati, drove right through my old stomping grounds, able to see the city that I lived in for almost 2 decades, give or take. And now we're an hour or so away from Louisville, right before we have a big pay-per-view tonight on Fight TV for Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, I'm worried about the pay-per-view, and I'll tell you why I'm worried.
Talk to us.
You know, we were feeling nostalgic. We were doing things we used to do on the road, and we pulled over at Jimmy John's, and I got a gargantuan unwich, biggest sandwich they have, wrapped in lettuce. I'm really worried I'm going to shit my pants on Eric Young or Joe Dory.
So I'm wondering now, because I started feeling my stomach rumbling just a little bit.
I was wondering if you were feeling it, because we're usually on the same schedule, weirdly.
Because... Well, I could easily.
I could take one. So, I'm just letting you know live on the pod, I could use a dump skate.
So you need to stop at a Love's or something? That's the only thing that would be clean.
Yeah, I mean, well, how long have we been going on this pod here? Do we got another 20? I can hold it if I can pinch my butt a little.
You have to hold it.
I do a little cheek pinching for this.
You have to hold it for another 20.
Son of a bitch. Sacrifice tonight, but you guys are going to hear this in the future. So what you need to do is if you're anywhere in the Southeast, hell, buy a plane ticket because this is an exciting independent show. We don't get excited about a lot of independent shows. I've been doing a lot of appearances. They've all been fun. But excitement, general real excitement. We wanted to do this match
forever.
They're claiming that this is the end of, this is the rock and roll farewell. And as you, you guys can see it, they're going around, they're doing all these matches with all these current tag teams. They're wrestling the Hardys. They're wrestling, the, what are the majors calling themselves now that they're reunited in GCW? They're wrestling.
I'm glad that they're actually.
They wrestled the Kingdom.
Well, the major pods, what they're calling.
Yeah, but they have a tag team name. I don't know what it is. I forget. We'll have to ask them. But Rock and Roll Express coming to Dublin, Georgia, Central South Georgia. They're going to wrestle the Good Brothers. We've never done it together. I've wrestled them with other partners, but you're my real partner. So you grew up on them. We're going to wrestle the Rock and Roll Express this Saturday, March the 12th, Dublin, Georgia. Tickets on sale, www.thelpwg.com. But also, Arn Anderson, one of our favorites, one of the agents we were actually buddies with. We love, respect, both definitely grew up on him. He will be there in the corner with his son, Brock Anderson, taking on our Lariato Pro Heavyweight Champion, one of the most underrated out there, our boy John Schuyler. We also have Eric Young versus Crazy Steve. We have Laser coming back from his death-defying fall that made him go viral. Saturday, March the 12th, Dublin, Georgia, www.thelpwg.com. And if you're a fan of this podcast, immediately after the show, I'm going to give you a little kayfabe inside tip. Rock and Roll is going to love me for this. We're going to go on before intermission. No matter what the outcome, we're going to meet and greet the fans. We're going to head straight to the spot. We're going to do a live Rock and Roll Farewell podcast with Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, the Good Brothers. I'm sure all people
really?
From the show, the after show people will show up. It's going to be a great content grab for them. I told Robert I would pay his bar tab. I might be regretting that.
Who's Robert? Oh,
Robert Hoot Gibson. Oh, gotcha. You know Hoot, who we've been saying Hoot about for the last 10 years?
Who's Robert?
Yeah, you know, Robert Gibson from the Rock and Roll Express. But anyway, we're doing that live podcast. It's going to be a blast. So if you're there, you're around. No matter what happens, though, we're having a party after. You're all invited. It's a live podcast. It's a Q&A. It's a brother session. I'm going to give you that tidbit, too. We're going to stay in Dublin. We're going to have fun. Come have fun with us.
We've been reflecting on a lot of past stuff. On this ride, thinking back on our New Japan times, thinking back on the Bullet Club days, Gallows' first day at Corican Hall, joining in the Bullet Club, and then us going on the first tour together was the first World Tag League 2013. We won the World Tag League, got some big trophies. We beat.
This is how different it was then, and like the uncertainty was there. We'd won the World Tag League. But I didn't know if I was coming back or not. I'm like, well, I think they got to bring me back. And I said, am I getting brought back? And he goes, well, yeah, we're wrestling for the titles in the Tokyo Dome. And I went, oh, fuck, score. Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. You must have been pumped.
I've bumped out of my mind.
Oh, that's great, though.
I literally was like, I mean, it seems like we're getting a little push here. Am I coming back? And they're like, yeah, you guys won the thing. You got to wrestle in the Dome. And I was like, fuck, that's pretty fucking cool.
So your first World Tag League. You won.
And then we go to the Tokyo Dome and win the tag team, the IWGP tag team titles. Like, that's, you know, and even at that point, I'd been through WWE and TNA, but on that wrestler bucket list, what was I when I first came over there and met you? 29?
Yeah.
That's some real serious wrestler bucket list shit to win those titles in the Tokyo Dome at 29. That was cool for me.
That's pretty cool. My first Tokyo Dome, I was 28.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 10 days before I turned 29, but...
And I love this New Japan Bullet Club talk. It's so relevant right now with what we're doing. But this just popped in my head because I know you have funny feelings about this. Guys, I'm going to say this publicly. It's probably going to piss off some people, but we always do.
Come on.
We're not guys who give a ton of fucks about a building. You know what I mean? I got to do the garden when I was a kid. Yes, it was cool. But after a while, it's just another big building with shitty parking. But we're doing one coming up because I think we've checked so much stuff off from... these buildings in Japan to the States. We wrestled the last show at the Joe Louis Arena in Detroit.
We've done everything.
I've never wrestled in the ECW Arena. Have you?
Yes.
Okay, I never have. We're doing Impact tapings March 18 and 19. My son's 15th birthday, but it's in the ECW Arena. I went there, but I wasn't on the card as a young up-and-coming wrestler, so I've never actually wrestled in the ECW Arena. I don't think. If I have, I don't remember it.
So allow me to say this without offense to anybody, of course, but we wrestled in the ECW Arena, and I didn't give a flying fuck.
Well, I mean, I know. I'm just saying it's just one of those ones that, you know.
Well, you got to remember, too, that I don't mean that, but I wasn't an ECW fan.
You weren't. I liked ECW, but ECW wasn't your thing. You were an NWA, WCW guy. Yeah. It's different.
And every time I tried to watch ECW, I go, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. I liked the presentation of it. I thought, like, when ECW came on TNN, it was pretty badass.
But then they were all, those were all bad shows, though, on TNN.
Yeah, like when you would watch the DVDs, for example, of, like, Barely Legal, and they were doing some really risky shit. People were flying through tables and bleeding. When I was a high school kid, I thought that shit was
I think that might have been my issue. It's sometimes the wrestling was too much on ECW. It was almost like too, because, like, even now, me and you don't sit and watch. Oh, I bet that was, we don't sit and watch for Smart Mark move to move stuff.
No, we don't. We're more, we need to be entertained now. And it's like, I watched wrestling so much for so many years. I watch wrestling less than I've ever watched wrestling in my life. I still like it.
Of course.
But I'm just not as up to date on shit. I mean, we're real life human beings running this business and our other stuff, and it's just, I don't have time to sit down and just watch 3 hours of pro wrestling matches.
I used to like watching, like, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash just walk into the ring.
Yeah, like doing cool shit. Exactly.
And I never thought, like, some people have given, saying their matches were like, whatever. Some of their matches were, people would say, maybe like boring or whatever. Like they say about our matches sometimes.
Well, like, they'll try to say, like, oh, they were being lazy this day or whatever, or whatever. But I think the thing with them,
it's not true.
Yeah. It's not true. And they were so fucking cool that I remember being in a building and you see them walk out and you go, oh, fuck, that's awesome. Like, that's a rock star feel, man. That's a star quality.
That's what I used to like. I used to just watching the entrances above the big bad dudes.
Seeing the Hulkster come out or seeing Ric Flair when the music hits and the people pop and go nuts. It's great.
I'm not sure I understood it was the ECW arena even. The match that we, the time I wrestled in the ECW arena.
They changed the name and all that shit over the years.
So I might not have.
Building, I believe. If I'm completely wrong, I'm sure they'll let us know, but I think I'm right.
That match that I had in the ECW arena was me and Baldo, Lord Tensai, A-Train, whatever. We were the IWGP Tag Team Champions at the time. We wrestled Kojima and Dan Moff.
Oh, really? Was that for Jersey All-Pro New Japan back then?
Yes, yes.
So you did more than one show, because you did another show. I've seen that match, and it wasn't against, Kojima's not in it, I don't feel like.
So I did it again?
I think you did another match for them, like maybe in Rahway.
Yeah, I did.
Right. But it wasn't with the Japanese brothers, though, right?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Maybe I did like that it was ECW arena, because I can remember who I wrestled in that arena. But I'll say this much. The night before we drank.
No.
Yes. After the first Rawway show.
What the fuck were you thinking?
But I had too many beers.
No.
So the next day. If you go back and find
Little
that match, it's somewhere. Dan Moff goes to give me a burning hammer.
Oh, God.
I was going to land on my feet and then hit the gun stun. Flipped me. I landed on my feet perfectly. Hit the cutter. 1, 2, 3.
You throw up on him?
Nope. Afterwards, Pepper Parks, who's Blade now in AEW, but good friend of mine.
And one of your longtime good friends, yes.
He was there with me. Just kind of, I think there was a tryout that weekend. And he did the tryout. And he goes, Allegra? I go, yeah. And he goes, I got to give it to you, man. As fucking hungover as I knew you were, and you landed on your feet. And, like, you barely stretched before your match. Like, I got to give it to you, bro.
What a great putover story.
Oh, yeah. I winked at him, and I went, exactly.
That's right, baby.
But I got to tell you this much. I remember the whole match thinking I was going to die.
Unfortunately, when you walk the line the way we walk the line, we've had a lot of those matches where, you know, I hope we entertained you, but on the inside, we were thinking, my God.
You mean, like, lots of them?
Yeah.
Almost all of them.
That whole Raw run.
Fuck. We came back from Japan that one time, and we did the greatest promo of all time for the club.
Yes.
In the club's history on Raw. We were so hungover because we just came back from Japan. And we almost fell off the stage when we fucking went to commercial. Remember when John Cena
looked
at each
other, we had to yell at each other and go, we could never do this again.
We did the entire, have we not told this one before? We've told this.
Oh, we can retell it at Sock and Shop.
That's true.
They'll either listen to it or turn it off.
We were on the stage. We did the whole beat up John Cena for the first time ever.
Ever.
Got a massive, a big reaction on social media as well.
Yeah, like, no, it hit good. And then I don't know how long we said it, if it was just that week. It got hot, and I remember I immediately went home and I printed beat up John Cena shirts. I brought them to the house show loop. We were going to sneak them onto Raw.
Yeah.
But Vince called AJ and told him, or somebody called AJ. I feel like it was Vince, and told AJ that we were never allowed to say beat up John Cena again.
Well, it's definitely Carano.
That was the end of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Most things we did, they kind of didn't let us do anymore.
Said Noski too.
Trying to figure that out.
Remember when we asked if Triple A Five?
We asked when this guy was in charge.
Yeah, we asked our boss at the time. Hope he's okay.
Trips.
If Scott Hall could walk to the ring with us.
Yeah, Triple H said, nope.
Nope.
I think he feels like he would have gone on the road with us and would have.
Do you think us and Scott Hall on the road together would be amazing?
I don't know how amazing it would be.
I know. We would have had fun, but I think he was worried somebody would get in trouble. So.
I think we'd check out earlier than we'd like if that happened.
Yeah, that's true.
What I mean?
Probably good. Anyway, love you, Scott.
As you said, you like different buildings. So what's another building you like that you like to wrestle in?
Well, I didn't really say. I said we don't really care about the sentimental factor of buildings.
Yeah.
Here's what we like. We like cities that react to us.
Yes.
Whether they're yaying us or they're booing us. And we know what pockets of the country that, like, they give a fuck more than others do.
So that's kind of like, I like Tokyo. Like, I like Korakuen and Ryogoku, but I like that because it's in Tokyo.
Right. But, I mean, like, we like L.A.
We like L.A.
You know, L.A. is always good,
like,
too.
Staples Center was cool, but so would PWG be, and so was where New Japan
like
was.
Like, Chicago's always good. Any of those buildings seem like they're good.
They do like us.
Yeah.
New York's always good to us.
New York's good to us, too.
The big reactions we used to get on the screen in New York when they were trying to de-push us. And then
we'd come on screen and get a pop, and I feel like somebody somewhere was going, fuck these guys.
Well, all of them.
They definitely were, yeah.
Splish splash, I was taking a bath, and I noticed I have some beautiful balls. Our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in below-the-waist hygiene, are turning men's shower dreams into their favorite routine. The all-new Ultra Premium Collection. This all-in-one hygiene skin and hair bundle is designed to upgrade the everyday man's shower routine from head to toe. Your skin, hair, and yes, even your balls deserve it. Save big by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with code HOOTS20. That's HOOTS20 to get 20% off. Listen, let me walk you through the Manscaped shower routine. Step 1, we lather on the cologne-infused ultra-premium body wash with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean and moisturized all day. You know, I'm not sure if you heard that correctly, but this body wash is cologne-infused, so that special someone in your life will absolutely love it. Then, it's hair care time. Apply the 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner that cleanses and nourishes in one step. This non-greasy formula has a base of coconut water, green tea, aloe turmeric, and sage. Apply this to your armpits and your pubic region too. Then, once you hop out of the shower, protect yourself from body odor by applying on the Manscaped aluminum-free deodorant. This deodorant dries clear and is also cologne-infused. Then, if you have tattoos or dry skin, you gotta hit your skin with a hydrating body moisturizer spray. Then apply the Manscaped Lip Balm. This is a free gift when you purchase the Ultra Premium Collection. Now, last but not least, guys, we're using the Lawnmower 4.0 electric trimmer to clean off any unwanted body hair. That's right, the Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof, so you bet it's a major key to your new shower routine. This elite trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin. Although your balls may look like punching bags, don't treat them like one and get the benefits from this new skin-safe technology. Once again, 20% off plus free shipping with the code HOOTS20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping. Use the code HOOTS20 at manscaped.com. It's time to get wet and clean with your new Manscaped shower routine.
This episode of Talkin' Shop is sponsored by Athletic Greens. When it comes to making resolutions and it comes to eating clean and eating right and getting the gut healthy, Athletic Greens is the way to go. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy recovery, focus, and aging. I start off every morning with a glass of Athletic Greens, and then I head downstairs into my private gym and do about a 45-minute to 50-minute cardio workout, and I feel so great, so refreshed, and so energized to start my day. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/hoots. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/hoots, H-O-O-T-S, to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
You know who's actually great, and I ask this stuff because, like, oddly, through different runs, he's been with me, is Hawkins, who we always like to bury on here.
Yeah.
But Hawkins is a building guy. He'll be like, Drew, do you remember the night you debuted in the Straight Edge Society was in this building at this day? And I'm like, how the fuck do you remember that? Like, I remember debuting in the Straight Edge Society. If you put a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you where in the fuck it was. It could have been Cedar Rapids. It could have been New York City. I don't know.
Maybe it's just different because you can definitely remember our debut in WWE.
Well, yeah, I can remember that. But
it was a little more special.
I don't remember Festus' debut. I'll tell you what I remember. I remember debuting as the Imposter Kane in Washington State. I was the lowest level developmental guy you could be. And at the time, there was no money. It was like $500 a week or anything. You're just getting by. You're training and you're just getting by hoping to move up to the next level and then get called up and make some real money. So I remember I flew to Washington State and I had like no money in my bank account. And I ate the peanuts in the TV hotel room. And it was like a $12 thing of peanuts. So I took some athletic tape and I peeled the foil that covers a peanut container. I just peeled it back a little. I ate all the peanuts. Then I made myself a piece of double sticky tape. And I taped it back on and I closed them so I didn't get charged for eating the peanuts.
Now we're talking.
That was the night before I debuted on Monday Night Raw.
So you debuted on Monday Night Raw as Fake Kane?
Yeah, 22 years old, brother.
What did you do?
I chokeslammed the Big Red Machine.
No shit.
Yeah, I was nervous as fuck.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I came out to his music and his outfit. People were like, what the fuck is going on and why? And I chokeslammed him and I left.
So what was the whole ultimate plan of that?
I think the whole ultimate plan of it was the movie See No Evil, his horror movie, was coming out. And they were like wanting a way to like push all of Kane. So I guess in their heads, him seeing himself from the past was supposed to be what it was. But he was really good to me. It just didn't come across great. And then I did a few weeks of TV. We did a pay-per-view where they had me pin him, which was unreal. So they probably thought they were going to do more with it. And then they saw that like people were watching Kane wrestle Kane, just going, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
So the next night he chokeslammed me three times, chokeslammed me on the stage, ripped my wig off. And they go, we're not showing your face because we're going to bring you back as my other gimmick, the freaking Deacon. And then they threw me out the back door of the building and I was never to be seen or heard from again.
Holy shit.
But I got that pay-per-view payday and I got fucking new dining room tables, couches.
Wasn't there talk?
I bought a painting.
Wasn't there talk of you being the third brother of destruction?
Dude, they told me that in developmental. Like, think about your mind when you're a 20-some-year-old kid. And they told me, first they told me I was going to come out at WrestleMania 23. And it ended up being the boogeyman. But I was going to be the third brother. Bill DeMott used to say during practice that I was the heir to the big man throne. And I was like, shit, I'll be a millionaire like next year. This is going great.
So who do you think saw you that wanted that to happen?
I have no idea where all that came from. They liked...
Well, they must have liked you because they gave you that Kane spot.
I did these really weird freaking Deacon promos, and that's how they knew that I could talk, because I did a multiple personality thing that I made up myself, and I would talk in different voices. If you listen to this show, you can understand me doing something like that. But I had a tarantula that I would carry to the ring and drop on the guys, and I had makeup.
Can I please hear a freaking Deacon promo?
So I would start out, and I would say, like, you know... Next Thursday night in McDonough, Georgia, the freaking Deacon will grab Tony Santorelli. Then I start slapping myself in the face. Go, oh, yes, Willow. And I pull the spider out. I put the spider on the side of my face. And I go, that's right, Willow. Milk the skin. Get your nourishment. Then I slap myself hard in the face again. I go, you will feel the wrath and the fury of the sneaking freaking Deacon. And then I just punch myself in the face. Camera goes black. People were like, what the fuck? They liked it. Jesus. I came out from under the ring. They gave me a bag lady, which was the late Melissa Coates, God rest her soul. We dressed her up like a homeless lady, did vignettes where I pulled her out of a dumpster. So she'd come to the ring with me. Then after the matches were over, everyone else would walk up the ramp. I would put her in a shopping cart and I'd push her out the front door because she was my bag lady. But the rib was, she hated being the bag lady. She wanted to be a pretty like girl wrestler. So out the front door of this shopping mall, there's a little drop off. So she would be yelling at me and pissed off. So, and I love you, Melissa. She knows that I loved her. I would push the shopping cart. I'd tell the boys to hide on the other side after my match. I'd push the shopping cart. And as soon as the front wheels would go over the lip, I'd flip the shopping cart. She'd take a big bump into the grass. She'd go, "You motherfucking piece of shit." Then I'd just run away to the back. The boys would be losing it.
Stephanie came and liked it.
They brought me to TV and I did like a dark match or something. She came up to
Stephanie
me.
McMahon.
And I, you know, again, this Helmsley. I'm about 21 and this is Stephanie McMahon. And she comes up to me and she goes, "Freaking Deacon." I was like, "Shit, she knows who I am." I go, "Hello, ma'am." And she goes, "You are just so weird." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She goes, "Keep it up. See how weird you can be." I was like, "Well, fuck." And that's when, you know, my weirdness got my fucking tongue bit off by a tarantula, too, because I put him in my mouth for a promo.
It's one of my favorite stories ever.
Well, yeah. It's you had to see it to truly believe it.
Did you ever tell that one, John? I know you've told it here.
I'm sure I've told it somewhere here before. But the long story short was she told me to be weird. I would play with this tarantula.
Just tell the story.
I would play with this tarantula every night because they said if you got him used to people, you could really handle him. And I didn't want him to bite one of the boys.
Of course.
At first, I would pin the guy, and then I would put a white sheet over him, and I'd drop the spider. So that way no one was...
One of the boys.
So that way nobody was getting hurt. Well, then Nick Patrick came in one day. He goes, "You know what? We got to cross the threshold. This gimmick's getting over." He goes, "When you pin him tonight, I'm going to tell my dad, Jody Hamilton, the assassin, you're going to knock my fucking head off, too. And I want you to put that cocksucker right on my face."
So Nick Patrick
did that for me. So he volunteered to be the first one. I beat the guy. He goes, "Hey, Deacon, that's enough." I boot him or whatever. I grabbed the spider. I carried him in this case so people would pop. I do the reveal. I show the spider, start doing the weird shit. I dropped him right on his face. They were going nuts in that little building because it was like...
He had to be shitting bricks, though. Like,
he was a man, dude. It was a man's man about it. He just fought. And then I let him do it for a few minutes, and I'm trying to be in character, and I'm looking at Nick going, "Don't fucking bite him." And I scooped the spider up real quick and dropped him back in the thing. But it got a reaction. Well, then everybody was mad because now the boys got to eat it because the referee did. So every time I'm squashing guys, I don't want to get squashed for one. And then I drop a dirty spider on them and cross around their face. You would hate that. Think about it. I would.
So Bill DeMott made him do a promo, right?
Yeah, we'd have promo day where they would do promos, and then Bill would send them to WWE Creative once a week. And I was like, "Stephanie told me I got to be weirder." So I fucked with this spider, and I was doing all this stuff, and I was like, I'm going to put him in my mouth just for a second. As soon as I'm going to tell him, like, not even 3, 2, 1, just as soon as he's in my mouth and it closes, hit fucking record. I'll open my mouth, he'll crawl out, I'll do a fucking crazy promo. I'll fucking probably be the world champion next week. It's going to be amazing. So I put Willow, this little bastard spider friend of mine, in my mouth.
He called him by his name.
Little Willow, yeah, that was his name. And I put Willow in my mouth, my pet friend. Think about it. Yeah. He's an animal.
Yeah.
Another animal just put him in his mouth and closed. He thinks he's being eaten. Of course he does. Yeah. He thinks this is the end. Well, what I didn't know was a Mexican red leg tarantula's defense mechanism. They have these like really sharp hairs. I guess you would compare it to a small porcupine, like on their back and their ass. So if a larger predator goes to eat them, they shoot these hairs into its face, and it has a stinging mechanism, and you have a bad reaction, all that. Well, young novice freaking Deacon Drew Hankinson doesn't know that. I close my mouth. The spider strikes my tongue and then shoots all this stuff.
Immediate.
Into the back of my throat. So
you didn't even tell me to hit record?
No, I went, and a spider flies across the room. Now, granted, nobody knows what the spider's done to me. I drop to my knees. I'm like, this is death. Well, Bill DeMott and everyone in the room is afraid of spiders. Of course they are. The spider's running around because he thinks he was just about eating. He's like, "Get the fucking spider! Get the fucking spider!" The boys are jumping up on chairs. So not only do I think I'm dying, I also think I'm getting fired. So as I'm choking, I'm trying to scramble to get the spider. He's running under the chairs.
So do you feel your throat close?
Like, yeah, hold on. So I get the spider. I put him in the thing. I was like, "He got me." He's like, "Did he fucking bite you?" I was like, "Something happened." He's like, "Jesus Christ, go to the hospital. Go to the urgent care." I'm like, "The urgent care is close." I was like, and I'm literally, my throat's starting to close, but they don't know that. I go, "Who's taking me?" He goes, "You have your car?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Drive your fucking self." Dude, I'm in freaking Deacon tights, a furry schmuck. I have black ladies' eyeshadow all over me. My skullet has got wax in it, spiked all around my head. I got wrist tape on, wrestling boots with fur all over them. I get in my two-door hatchback Hyundai with no fucking air conditioning stick shift.
Are you joking?
I'm joking, brother. I'm at the stoplight. I'm going, "I gotta run it." I ran the stoplight because my throat was closing. I go running in. I look like this. The ladies are going, "Whoa, I said my throat's closing." They would have called the cops. I pulled out my WWE Pomco card. That was the WWE insurance at the time. I go, I'm a wrestler. My throat's closing. I've been bit by a spider. They're going, what the fuck? I'm like, I got to go back right now.
Oh, my head. I heard this story so many times. It was killing me.
I had to go back. Right. I thought I was going to die in the waiting room. And then there wasn't anybody in there, and I got back there.
They sat you down?
Yeah. And then I got back there, and I'm like red and pink, and like they gave whatever they gave me. I don't remember.
Starting to feel better. They gave you a shot?
They did something, whether it was a shot or a pill. It was probably a shot, but... Immediately it started to go down and shit, but I was like sitting there thinking like, you know, like, I don't know if that could kill a person. Maybe probably couldn't. I don't know. But what if I was in a desert or something, or there was no doctor around, like, and these wrestlers just thought I was being a douchebag.
So were you and Willow buddies after that?
No.
Did you never have them again?
No, I still had them because they wanted to call me up with them. So what happened with Willow was they were going to call it up and start using it. I was going to do, because I was doing like a bunch of dark matches and house shows just so they could see it.
Poor Willow. He thought he was getting eaten, bro.
I know. But I would do like, they would do like the Georgia markets with me so I could drive. The first time I had to fly.
Oh, fuck.
WWE found out you couldn't fly at the time for whatever reason with these tarantulas. And they go, well, we'll get you a new one in every city. And me as a young guy, you don't want to say no to anything.
Yeah, of course.
But I go, guys, I can't train a tarantula like the night before and then drop him on a wrestler and guarantee you nothing bad's going to happen. Like, fuck. And then they were like, yeah, well, we're going to have to kill it off. And then that was kind of the end of, that was the end of Willow, was after the fake cane. I was going to go back to doing that. I couldn't travel with the spider. And then they were looking for a partner for Ray Gordy because Henry Godwin and him were going to be the new Godwins. And Henry had some personal stuff and he left. And they tried out a bunch of dudes. And I just was like, fuck, I don't have a spot. So I watched Blue Collar Comedy Tour and went in there and did like a Blue Collar Comedy Tour promo. We were gonna be like the new Godwins, and then
really,
yeah, we were pig farmers. We did a vignette on SmackDown with overalls on, and Teddy Long's like, "If you can get that old pickup truck to SmackDown next week, you can debut." And then we went to SmackDown, and I do remember this one. It was in the Baltimore Arena. We were gonna debut
as the new Godwins.
They were gonna be the new Godwins, and they changed us to the Daltons. We were going to be Jesse and Justice Dalton.
Holy shit.
Then they changed it to Jesse and Festus Dalton, which I was like, fuck, Justice Dalton sounded kind of cool if I got to be a pig farmer. So I was Festus Dalton. And then we were out in the ring, and we were with some local brothers getting together that first match. And the doors were, they were like 5 minutes till doors, and then they came out and they go, Vince McMahon needs you in his office. And that's the story you guys have heard 100 times about. He basically told me I was going to be Festus and what Festus was.
And I wonder who pitched that, how that even came about, right?
I know how it came about, but I'm not going to say it because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Got you. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll ask you off air.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. Hey, Talking Shop on the road, real deal. Thanks for sticking with us. Patreon.com/Talking Shop. It's going to be a huge, huge revamp soon, I promise.
Baby. Big revamp. Hey, you know what? Let's just tell them. Spill it. This summer, we are doing a Talking Shop tour. Good Brothers are doing a Talking Shop tour. I turned the air on way too intense for our leaving the broadcast here, but we don't have any details yet. We just thought of it, but when we think of something, we do it, so we'll see you then.
We're going on a 10-city Talking Shop tour with the Good Brothers. Don't forget. Get ready. All the big markets, baby.
This summer, July, August, look for us,
baby. Yeah, look for it. For the Machine Gun... For Big LG.
For Justice Dalton.
For Fink and Justice Dalton. And get your foot. And
freaking Deacon.
And Rocky Romero, who just refuses to do work for Talking Shop, but still wants a payday.
Rocky Romero, who will never do it with us.
Rocky Romero refuses to do Talking. Well, I guess he was on last week, so I can't say it. Yeah. It was the first time he did anything in 5 months. He still wants to do all our taxes and take our money.
Jesus Christ.
Fucker.
I want to see this fucking sob collection now, rich little bastard.
For Balls Deep Billy, who's gonna clean this up, edit it, please, make it beautiful, and make it 30 minutes, baby.
30 and out. We saw guys today. The Arnold said 30's perfect.
All right. That's right. We're out of here. See you, babies.